Hey, how you guys doing? This is Jason Williams, aka Charm City PT, here with another fun podcast for you guys. Today, I have a very special guest, Miss Jamie Chris from here in Baltimore. She is a spin instructor. She teaches at Solid Core and does a lot of cool stuff here in the wellness community. Jamie, how are you?
I'm good.
Awesome.
Cool. Been up since 3:45 a.m.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, you're still going?
Still going. That's why we got coffee in hand, my friend.
So what time are you going to go to bed?
Well, tonight, I'll probably go to bed after I leave here.
So it's like 5:30 p.m., so she's going to go to bed at 6 p.m. probably.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
I went to bed at 9:30, so yeah.
Man, and that's your regular routine?
It's like flex and go. Sometimes I sleep for 8 to 10 hours. Sometimes mm-hmm. I'll sleep for 5 to 6. I don't know. It just depends what's going on.
Yeah. So, I mean, that doesn't mess up your schedule in terms of like, you know, kind of an up and down sleep cycle like that.
It does. That's for another discussion.
We'll talk about that. That's another podcast
another
episode.
Podcast.
That's on the sleep podcast. We'll talk about that one later. So tell us who you are and what you do here in Baltimore. I gave you kind of a quick, you know, synopsis of that, but let's tell them.
So I've been living in Baltimore for about 10 and a half years now. I moved here to work at Under Armour. And currently my role there, I'm still there. I am a sports marketing a rep that focuses on the run category. So anything that's track, trail, and road, from pro athletes to events, partnerships, anything that's an asset to the brand, cool. My team manages that. And then a couple of side hustles that mm-hmm. I think pretty much everybody in this world has now. So I teach at Rev Cycle Studio, which is the first ever spin cycle boutique mm-hmm. studio here in Baltimore. And then at Solid Core, which just mm-hmm. opened a few months ago. Actually, it's almost a year now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. At Solid Core. And then I try to, you know, mesh myself in. I would say fitness enthusiasts. Mm-hmm. I love people. Yep. People connector. All things above.
I don't even know how we met.
I stalked your Instagram.
Is that what it was?
Instagram. No, Twitter. Like, Twitter. Because it was like Instagram wasn't much then.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
God, that was a
and then we
time
met at the brand house. And I was like, hi, are you Charm City PT?
Oh, man. That was fangirl so long moment. Ago. God. Was that like, that must have been what, like 2012?
That's an event sense. So probably 2011,
12. Wow. God, that's a long time.
It's crazy.
It doesn't even seem that long.
It doesn't. Wow. But I feel like I've known you forever. So.
Wow, that's crazy. Awesome, cool. So we'll start with spin, since mm-hmm. that's kind of first, like the first place you kind of got into your side hustle, right, from Under Armour. Mm-hmm. So you work at Rev. Tell us like kind of some mistakes you see in spinning with people, like even if it's like the first time spinners or someone who's been doing spin for a while.
Yeah, so I think we'll start from the beginning. It's just the setup. So mm-hmm. people come in and they think they know where their seat height is, or they don't even pay attention to it.
Right.
So seat height is like major, because that can really affect your whole workout. So imagine if your seat is not corrected and you're spinning for almost 45 minutes to 60 minutes.
Wow,
so it can be really uncomfortable. Your hips, your knees, your joints, all of it. And think about the movement that you're in and out of the saddle, the seat. So that's a biggie I see. As you come out of the seat or the saddle, at times people put all their weight into the handlebars mm-hmm. where I think they're about to flip over.
Right.
So I think just really learning how to listen to your body and adjust where the weight should go, and more of like an athlete positioning right. where you can really drive power
uh-huh.
and just learning how to drive power in any sort of positioning in the saddle or out of the saddle. And then the last one I would say is, your handlebars. A lot of times people don't know where to put their handlebars a certain height, and that kind of goes with the setup as well, that you see that
right.
sometimes you'll see your handlebars really high and then your seat completely low. So think about
yeah.
the angle of where your butt is sinking down into the saddle, and then you're like, your shoulders are up to your ears. So I would say that's a big one. And then, yeah, I think that's, it's all about the setup in it, and just making sure that you're set up for success from the beginning and you're not set up incorrectly. And as you're pedaling through, the last thing I would say, and I always tell my classes, is like, if your ass is this explicit?
You can okay. say,
I'm like, oh, dear.
Sorry.
Beep. So what I tell my clients is like, if your ass is bouncing in that saddle and you're flaring your legs out of control, then you don't have enough resistance or control. So make sure that you do have control in the saddle, even when you're on a flat road, like think about if you're riding a bike outside, like mm-hmm. you still have a little something more
right.
underneath your feet. And so there's just some ways that you can really critique that. And there's around a range, is obviously when you do sprints to heavier flat road to climbs uh-huh. to work into that resistance.
Awesome. No, that's a great tip. Right. So, I mean, for people who like are just new to spin, these are all like really good tips. Even for people, probably do you see that with people who've been taking spin for a while? Did it ultimately change their seat or their positioning on the bike? If they're getting stronger, if they're getting, you know, or anything mm-hmm. like seeing benefits, or does their seat stay the same the entire time? You think?
I think so. Adjustments? Yeah. So your adjustments, what we try to do, and for me, if I see a client that. That's a big thing, is like asking, first of all, like, are you brand new to spin? Are you right. new to rev? We do things a little bit differently here.
Right.
So we have people there that are supposed to adjust their seats and get going. Okay. Some people just go into not say anything. Oh. But when you see the difference of like when their knees are up to their chest, or right. if they're like my height, which is 5'4", uh-huh. and they're maybe 6 foot, I'm like, okay, uh-huh. you should not be the same seat level as me, obviously. My right. husband did this last week, which is right. funny. He put the seat down at a 10, and I'm like,
oh, no way.
Brad, you're not the same height as me, but your seat is the same. He's like, no, this is what I always do. And I'm like, well, this is probably why your back and your knees what? Constantly hurt. Yeah, so, yeah. so just try to keep a gaze. And I think that's what's so important about instructors, are really paying attention where your clients are and just helping them out.
Right.
So at times, I try to catch them before class or even afterwards.
Right.
I'll pull them to the side and say, hey, I noticed, hey, your seat was too low, or your handlebars were too far in, or you seem very crowded.
Right.
And so that's like at times where you're not adjusting your seat level or moving it back and forth with your handlebars to make sure that you're in the same, you know, where you should be.
Right. And those are great tips. That's another really good tip in terms of asking questions if you're a new person, or if you're a person who's been doing it for a while. Always ask those questions, because I think people are scared to. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a little intimidating.
They're
so.
Embarrassed. And yeah. Nobody should be embarrassed. I mean, I still go yeah. through times, even like through running and even through cycling. I mean, no studio, no bike is the same.
Right.
So you just can't assume and just be like, hey, maybe saying that I ride this bike before. Is yeah. this the same? Is it different? Like,
no, that's
just
great.
Adjust it. Yeah.
Awesome. What other tips and, you know, do you have for people, like in terms of like getting the most out of their spin class? Like you just mentioned resistance, like, you know, you know, if your legs are going too fast, what are like maybe tips in terms of helping their spin, and or how does spin help with cross training or something like that?
Totally. So just to answer the first question, so for tips to really get the most out of your workout, I think it's just really challenging yourself with the resistance and uh-huh. making sure you are in control. And then there's moments when your instructor tells you to hang longer, if it's a 30, 45 second interval, like that's uh-huh. endurance.
Right.
And so at the end, that's going to make you better. So stick with it. And especially if they're telling you to have a certain resistance on, I hope there's a purpose why they're putting it on. For me, it's like, hey, I want you to hang a little bit stronger with this resistance, but we're also going to give a little kick back into it, or kick forward, of just keeping that power going forward. So you're mechanically pushing yourself to that next right. level. The other thing is, a lot of bikes have screens where it dictates, it shows you the resistance or level it should be
mm-hmm.
and what your RPM, your cadence, your power is at.
Right.
So what I would recommend is for people to really pay attention to those numbers. Don't worry about your calories. Like,
yeah,
that's a
yeah,
thing
yeah.
that kills me, and I'm sure you've seen it too. Uh-huh, it's uh-huh. like, well, I burned this many calories.
Yeah.
Well, the bike computer is made for like 145 pound male, which doesn't really exist. So like,
right.
that's why it's important to have your fitness trackers cool. and stuff like that with you, and knowing your heart rate, because that heart rate's really going to dictate yeah. your calorie burn. So don't pay attention about the calorie count. Pay attention to your resistance, the mm-hmm. the wheel that controls the resistance, your RPM, your cadence, your power.
Right.
The other thing is like, push above your limits. I see so many people are like, well, I just stay out of 5 and that's my limit.
Right.
And I think like, if you've been taking class pretty consistently, like
yeah.
bump it up, challenge
right.
yourself.
Yeah, you got to.
You have to create a little bit of uncomfortableness to create some change in your body. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it may not feel awesome in the beginning.
Right.
But at the same time, it's definitely going to challenge you to level up from that next, you know, that next gear and that next pressure or whatever it is. So, yeah.
Awesome. Those are really cool tips. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Let's get into now solid core, which is a pretty cool. Yes. Okay, so now tell me a little bit about SolidCore and, you know, the gist of SolidCore. What's it mean? What's it, you know, mm-hmm. equipment, all that stuff.
So. Yeah, so SolidCore is a 50-minute workout, high intensity, low impact on a resistance-based platform called Svetlana. So she has a name. I tell people she's going to kick your ass if you are coming for the first time. She kills it. If it's a first-time workout, for even for people that have been there for 200 classes. Uh-huh. And it's just always ways to improve and to be better. But basically, it's slow-controlled movements. And so you'll hear the coach say on that four count. So it's really about controlling your body and your uh-huh. movements. I know a lot of times, and I get, especially guys, at times they just want to pump those reps.
Yeah.
And we're like, mm-mm. no, slow your roll.
No, this is what
we're going to do. And slow and control motion and just contracting. So the workout is a breakout between your center core. So that's uh-huh. your foundation of any of the movements that you're going to do. Your obliques, which people didn't even know they had obliques, yeah. but those little bad boys show up.
They're there.
And lower body and upper body
okay.
Within that scheme of things. So basically the workout will break down those slow microfiber muscles
mm-hmm.
That cause those shakes. And so the recovery time of that. So even when you leave that room, your muscles are still recovering, like you're still burning calories. Your body's still burning those muscles because they're recovering from that workout.
Right. That's awesome. So if I'm a new person going to SolidCore, mm-hmm. what should I know going into it?
Just show up, number one.
Right.
I think that's it, where people are a little intimidated. They're like, uh-huh. oh my God, I've heard about this class. It's intense. And I think like that's the beauty about SolidCore. Like I remember the first time I showed up and I took my future sister-in-law with me and we did uh-huh. like a little girls trip, and it was our first time, and I remember we just all blacked out because it goes so fast, and then mm-hmm. you're like shaking. You're like, what is going on in my body? Just know, either way, it's going to be challenging.
Right.
The other thing is that don't get overwhelmed. I think a lot of times people overthink it, and you're looking around. So like a lot of times what the coach will do is put you in between some people who have been there before.
Right.
So we've all been there, you know, like the form is not going to be perfect, but that's why you have a coach. That's why they put you around people who may have been there a couple other times. So you get glance around, but you got to start somewhere. And then you build up from there. And I would say, don't just show up for one class and then show up 4 weeks later. Like, that's not going to do any good for you. Especially you're working muscles that your body's never worked before.
Right.
So the best bet is to show up another 2 to 3 days that week. And so your muscles are familiar with it. They're not going to hurt as much.
Uh-huh.
And then that way, too, you're more familiar with the structure and the format of the class, too. And then breathing through movements. A lot of times I think what even I see this in spin is where you're in, and I'm sure you've seen in training, when those workouts at times where you're pushing so hard that people hold their breath.
Mm-hmm.
And so your body just cannot open up. It cannot go deeper. And sometimes when you take that breath in, you can really allow your body to like go that extra rep or go a little bit slower and just be so more intentional with it.
Right.
And just opening up the body so much more.
Oh, no, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so what are some tips? I guess, so while you're in class, you say you mentioned breath, you mentioned taking your time, right? And mm-hmm. just kind of, what else would you say in there in terms of maybe that could help a person, maybe even if they take class all the time now,
mm-hmm.
to give them a little more like, oh, okay, I didn't know, like maybe I was doing that wrong, or maybe I was going too fast, or maybe adjusting spring, you know, or anything like that.
Yeah. So I think the big thing is like allow your coach to help you.
Okay.
And if you're not sure, if you see somebody else doing something slightly different, just ask. I think it's just, hey, I felt a little unsure about this, or I saw somebody else doing it a little bit differently, or I think just really just asking after class. I think that's the beauty about the coaches, that they're so helpful, and that's their job.
Right.
Like that's their job, to help you be better. And so also too, they'll give you ways to amplify or to modify in those moves. Sometimes you might hear a coach say, you know, go, if you need to modify it, go on your knees.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to amplify, go on those toes.
Okay.
Or, hey, if you are feeling good at that one gray spring, add another white or another gray on there. So there's always levels to kind of take it up a notch in there. And then also too, just, you know, if you are wanting to try to go on your toes in a particular move, then, you know, just test it out. Even if it's for 5 seconds, you tried it, you felt it, and you're like, holy shit, there's a difference. I'd rather have somebody just take that level up before they start adding more springs so that they're amplifying in different ways to go up on their toes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of people do you see take Salcor? Is it like kind of, is it someone like, in terms of like, is it a cross-training person? Is it someone to lose weight? Is it somebody who just needs something completely different? Is it an athlete? Like, what kind of people do you usually see take Salcor?
So I would say it's quite a bit of a range. Like today I had 5 totally new people in one class that seem like they do a little bit of running, who've never done any sort of cross training before.
Oh, that's cool.
Or they have done some yoga before. A lot of times you'll see people who've done some other Pilates type workouts where they just assume it's the same and it's totally not.
Oh, no.
And then I would say people generally cross train her looking for something different. I had 2 of my good friends from the running community who I know run all the time. The one girl runs marathons like an animal. And she even said, she's like, there's just muscles I know I haven't used and I don't use, but like this type of workout will help me have my posture better or engage my glutes and to not just drive through my quads, but like work my core. Your core is so key into running that people don't realize it, you know, and it like just the force it could give you so much more. So I would say, you know, a lot of cross training for sure within those athletes and just people who are looking for something different. And once they go and they see it and go through it, they're like, wow, I never realized what muscles I'm not using. And you're just so used to your same routine.
Yeah, it'll definitely, you know, even for me when I took it, it was great to kind of work the muscles that I didn't know were maybe necessarily weak. Like, so if I'm, you know, if you're right-handed, so a lot of my left side of my body was super sore because I'm not used to working that side so much, you know.
Totally.
So it's definitely a great class to kind of, if you're looking to kind of become more balanced, I guess you could say, in terms of your body, it's really good for that. So where can everybody find you in terms, like, if you come to Baltimore, you want to take Jamie's class at Rev, where can they find you?
Yeah, so at Rev, I'm over at Burrs Hill. So we have 2 locations.
Right.
We started over at McHenry Row, so I pop over there once in a while, but mostly at Burrs Hill over in Canton.
Okay.
And then at Salcor, we're at Harbor Point. So they're Tuesday nights, and then Friday mornings at 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. So, and then at Rev, just given a schedule there, typically Thursday mornings at 6 a.m., and then Saturdays at 10 a.m. On the weekend.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
So I'm excited. Yeah.
So guys, come out, take her class.
Thank you.
It's Jamie teaches a really great spring class, super inspirational. So if you want to be motivated, definitely pop into all her classes. All right. So thank you for joining me. I really appreciate your time.
Yes.
And yes, we'll definitely talk again soon.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.